Somebody once said, it's not how well you preach the word, but how well the hearer perceives that word. It's not how well you preach the word, but how well the hearer perceives the word. You can preach until the proverbial cows come home, but those who fail to perceive and find no way into his presence will get nothing out of it. It's like perception or deception. If I don't understand something, then I could very easily be deceived by it. Now, I know that a follow-up is necessary when you enter into the realm of salvation. That's what God's Word is all about. That's what the Bible's all about, is to teach you the things the Lord would have you know. So, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, I could stand in the center of the world's largest stadium and using my King James Bible, preach my heart out to thousands upon thousands of anxious souls, and only a handful would feel confident of what I was preaching. In the immortal words of Julius Caesar, I came, I saw, I conquered. And so he did as he said. Or in the famous words of the great World War II General Douglas MacArthur, I shall return. And he did return and finish the war in the Philippines. Now, these promises and many more are recorded in our history books. They can be understood because you can study them. You can go into the background of them. But when you're sitting in a church pew and you know nothing about salvation and someone's preaching to you about the Word of God and what you need to do and where, in order to become a child of the King, you must fully understand what they are saying, or else you'll leave shaking your head and saying, well, it sounded good, but I don't know if I really get the gist of the whole thing. These promises and many more are recorded, like I said, in our history books and considered by many to be benchmarks of historic moments in history. Well, let the Bible, the King James Authorized 1611 Version Bible, let that be the benchmark for your salvation. Because therein lies the truth. There's no deception, but it's up to us who have discovered, who have found the way onto the cross, to tell others that you too may come into the family of God. To the historian, these things that I'm talking about and many other verbal promises, well, they were held in high esteem and counted worthy of perpetual honor. Well, the Word of God, unfortunately, is not held in such esteem except by those who understand, who perceive, and who believe. Even the annoying proclamation that was given by Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of his movies, I'll be back. You know, that phrase in itself is destined to find a place in the library of most quoted sayings. What about trusting God? Believe in Jesus Christ. Will these be hallmarks and counted worthy of perpetual honor? Most quoted sayings? There is another voice that has taken precedent over all the quotes that have ever been written. It's found in your King James Bible, in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 3. The words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Hallelujah. I say, praise be to God. Amen. Amen. You know, has Jesus gone? Let me ask you, has Jesus gone and prepared a place for you? He did for me. He will not come back. Take warning. He will not come back and go to the cross again. That is over with. How do we know? Because just before he died on that cruel cross at Calvary, he made this proclamation and he made it clear that all would hear, all would perceive and understand. There was no big words. It was very, very simple when he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Never to be repeated. Never. A lot of people nowadays try to put him back on the cross. You can't. It won't happen. Believe in what has been done now. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so simple. If it comes from your heart, it has the meaning that's required. The words that will live on for all eternity. That's the title of my message today. It is finished. It is finished. My friends, there has never ever been and never will be again such great and powerful words as "it is finished." Never. Never. That meant that your salvation was complete. He paid the price you could not pay. He shed his blood to cover the sin of the whole world. All you have to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. Soon, very soon, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will return in the clouds of glory to gather together his bride, the church, the saints of God. And yet so many would prefer to give credence unto the dead whose memorials will vanish in the ashes of an eternal hell. Look at a statue of a great man or woman. Look at it. Adore it if you will. But don't worship it. Even statues of what people perceive to be Jesus Christ. Images. They're idols. You don't worship an idol. You don't worship an image. You worship by faith in truth. Who Jesus Christ is, the Savior of the world. The writer of Ecclesiastes wrote these words, "Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?" After him. Back in chapter 2 we read, "There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul in joy in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. There's joy in living for God. There's peace in believing in what Christ did for you. If we look in Matthew 13, Jesus said concerning the parable of the sower, many of you may be acquainted with this, quote, "By hearing ye shall hear, and not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive." Tell me, do you perceive what God's word is saying? Or are you deceived by what the world has to say? How is it with you? Do you perceive, or are you deceived? You see, the devil's right there, knocking at your heart's door. Oh, how can you believe that foolishness? Enjoy life. You only go through it once. Live it up. That's the devil's way. God's way is, no, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mark 4, verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Wow. That's Mark 4, verse 12. In Luke 8, verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. The woman with an issue of blood is healed. Somebody hath touched me. The woman who touched the hem of his garments. For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And in John 4:19, the woman of Samaria, who had five husbands, saith unto Jesus, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. She perceived. She had perception. She may have not fully understood at that moment, but she had understanding. What she saw was that this man, Jesus, in her mind, was a prophet. The list goes on and on and on. The state of perception as the Word of God enters into the hearts of men and women. Do you perceive what God has said in His Word? Or what He's speaking to your heart even now? I hope so. My friends, listen carefully. If your heart is hardened with unbelief, and it can happen, it cannot perceive the Word of God. A hardened heart has no perception. You believe your enemies? Why? Because you see them. You hear them. They're there before you. Yet you hesitate to believe God. Why? Because you cannot see Him. There's no faith. There's no hope. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you perceive what I'm saying to you right now? Do you? I pray so. If we are to please God, We must, it's essential, we must perceive what he is saying. And we must cast aside the deception of the devil, because when someone is trying to come to Christ, the devil is trying to get between you and drive a wedge in there that says, no, no, you're doing just fine. Keep on going. Keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing just fine. Simply put, if you do not perceive, then you will be deceived. If you do not understand, then you will not understand. You will be fooled. You'll believe in the evil one. What does the Word of God say about deceit? Another form of deception. Deceit. Well, Webster's dictionary describes deception or deceit as being treacherous, fraudulent, cunning, insincere, misleading, unreliable. The noun deception is the act of what? Of deceiving, of course. Or the state of being deceived, being misled, unreliable. The list goes on and on. Probably the best example of deception in the Bible would be that of Judas Iscariot. I might add plain old stupid to him as well. Some have asked me that if Jesus knew, if Jesus really knew of Judas's lying ways, then why did he allow him to be part of his inner circle? I would ask you to believe this was necessary, even imperative, for our sakes, for all of us to get a clear picture that many who would have you believe they are Christians are no more than Judas goats. That's what's out there in the world today. People who profess but do not possess. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, sure. I got to be a Christian. I'm not one of them other people, whatever you call them. Yeah, I'm a Christian. My dad was a Christian. My mama was a Christian. Well, even our dog and a cat was Christians. So I got to be a Christian. Hogwash. You're a Judas goat. Thus we have the narrow and the broad way. You might want to examine the person next to you. After you examine yourself, of course. Deceit, which is the brother of deception, is just a shorter version. Deceit and deception are the same thing. Such as deceived is also in the same family. Deceit, deceived, deception. The unholy trio. They're there. The Psalms and the Proverbs, well, they're virtually inundated with descriptives concerning deception. Psalm 7 says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit. Psalm 36, of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. And over in Psalm 101, verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. And if we go over to Proverbs 12:5, the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Verse 14, or Proverbs 14, but the folly of fools is deceit. Jeremiah 9, verse 6, through deceit they shall refuse me, saith the Lord. Through deceit they shall refuse me. Deceitful. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. Deceitful speaks of false apostles and deceitful workers. And here's a good one for the Joel Osteens out there and the Benny Hinns. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Matthew 13, verse 22. I could go on and on. Deceitfulness is a long, winding, narrow road that leads to eternal hell. That's where it goes. Let me ask you this. Does God ever deceive us? He warns us about deception constantly. But does he ever deceive us? Some would think so, wouldn't they? Was Eve deceived in the garden? Well, of course she was. But was it by God? No. It was by the master of evil, Satan. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, what kind of God would deceive us into believing his holiness, his righteousness, his promise? What kind of God would do that? Would try to deceive us that he is holy, that he is righteous, and that his promises are real? Not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, no. Not the most excellent God of glory. No way. No way. My friends, in closing, I must reiterate, if you believe that you are being deceived, then you are hearing it from the master of deceit. The master of deceit, the evil one. Go to the Word of God. Pray over the Word of God. Repent and give your life to Jesus Christ. Believe in the gospel. And the word will come alive for you. Deceit will have no avenue in your life. You will perceive and not be deceived. The word of God says so. And the word of God doesn't lie. I want to thank you for listening to my sermon today called It Is Finished. It Is Finished, Never to Be Repeated. Perception or deception? The choice is yours. God bless you and thank you for listening.